Absolutely not. Welcome to Highly Questionable. That's Pablo Torre, who's in the center square, but showed up last. I'm Mina Kimes. Dominique Foxworth is also on the outside. Let's get started today.
I don't know why we make this part of the show. Like, I don't think it's funny. I don't think it's cute. Like, it's not cool. You're late. It's rude. Lucky we aren't in studio anymore.
Hold on. This is cute. Do any of you have the guts to say LeBron is done winning titles? All right, hold on. LeBron James has been eliminated earlier than at any other point in his career. He's out in the first round. He lost by 13 to the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns are a better team, but LeBron James had 29, 7, and 9. And I would not call him washed up. I would call him 36 years old. Do we have what I was most staggered by in this game? The one scene of LeBron and his beard. Because this dude... there is some gray. Yeah, keep on zooming. See that gray? He's not even trying to hide it anymore. This is who he is now. He's a 36-year-old who has leg problems, who in the second half decided to try really, really hard, as I think people in that general age bracket are familiar with. And then he ran out of steam and had to sit down for a while. That is who LeBron James is now. He needed Anthony Davis. He did not get Anthony Davis beyond that beginning of the game. He's just a 36-year-old who is embracing being a little bit washed, but not washed to the point of non-contention.
I mean, you kind of said, you started by saying he wasn't washed, and then you went on to explain what a washed person is. So he's absolutely not washed. There are plenty of excuses for the reason why the season went the way that it did. I'm sure Mina will touch on all of them, but I want to use my time to talk about Devin Booker. Like, why are we spending any time talking about LeBron and AD and all them getting run out when Devin Booker went for 47, could have got over 50 in a closeout game, and has been the best and most impactful player in this entire series that has two Hall of Famers in it and maybe a third. So, like, Devin Booker's pretty special. We should leave the show showing him some love, not ragging on LeBron for actually showing a little bit of his age.
Well, thank you for setting me up and putting me in a horrible place, because I can now either say, yeah, Devin Booker's really good, or I can talk about the more interesting thing, frankly, which is LeBron James. I mean, there has to be a middle ground between, you know, LeBron James is washed and he's never going to match Michael Jordan's accomplishments, and the truth, which is LeBron James is still a superstar. He can just no longer carry an entire basketball team like a mama possum the way he used to. A mama possum, by the way, who was clearly still banged up. LeBron was no longer driving the way he normally does. If anything, I think we need to eat crow, not on the fact that the Lakers, with all of their players healthy, were still potentially a championship team. I mean, when AD and LeBron were on the floor, they outscored the Suns by 14 points per 100 possessions in this series. But rather, coming off of a shortened offseason, we should have foreseen that this Lakers team was incredibly fragile because of LeBron's age, because of Anthony Davis's injuries, because of the rest of the roster. That, to me, was everyone's error in overestimating this Lakers team.
There's another error that we've made, though, with Anthony Davis, who was, as Mina says, so important to this being a title run for the Lakers, because watching him try to play basketball at the beginning of that game was, like, vicariously painful. And I think we all know the reason why he did it. He did it to avoid everybody the next day on shows like this one piling on him for not trying to play, right? Like, that is why he did this. It's pretty clear to me why. And now we sort of are in this weird place of being like, I don't think he should have played, even though he entirely played because he was afraid of us saying that he should have.
Well, I mean, I think that we don't have that should have played thing anymore after what happened to Kevin Durant. Like, I think we all should have learned that lesson. Anyone who comes out the day after a situation like that and like, should have played. I know some people say that those things weren't connected, but Kevin Durant obviously shouldn't have been out there that day, and I'm just happy that AD, the worst thing that happened to him yesterday was they got knocked out of the playoffs. But the most important thing from all the things that we've said so far is I think it's time to retire the overused animal of the GOAT as the greatest of all time, and now promote Mina Kimes' new animal of
the
Mama Possum. The Mama Possum is just so much better.
I mean, have you seen
talking people Mama Possum? Yeah, I know. They carry all their babies on their back. It's a great analogy.
Oh, on their back. I thought there was a pocket. No, the back's way better.
No.
The back's way better.
The back.
They're not marsupials, I don't think.
I actually etch-a-sketched LeBron carrying all of his teammates as a mama possum a long time ago. Let me see if I can find it. Hold on.
Of course you did.
I forget that Mina is not cool. Like, I spent a lot of time with Mina.
I remember
and I
that
talk
often.
To Mina, and I'm like, I like Mina. She's cool. And then she does something like, I have a sketch of LeBron as a mama possum. Let me look it up.
What's great, Dominique, is that she's currently flipping through like a photo archive of 1,000 etch-a-sketches.
Oh my God.
Here we go. I found it.
Her viral meme library, by the way. She's like, no, not that one. That's for when that face is like, yep.
Well done. That's beautiful work. It's beautiful
work.
Honestly,
it was worth the wait.
I'm trying to go back to the game. Dominique pointed out correctly that we do spend so much time talking about LeBron. We probably should have been talking about Devin Booker in this particular game. Another important figure that I feel we should have addressed, NBA ref David Guthrie. Have you guys been watching what he's been up to? Our friend Jason Concepcion calls him Foul Bay. Can we get the video, please?
It's a flagrant penalty one on Morris for launching his body into the defender and also making extensive contact into the area.
Flip those hips.
It's
the eye contact and then holding the eye contact and then just moving.
I don't want to stand up all the way because I'm wearing sweatpants, which you can now see, but this is what it's like.
And then give him the face.
Flagrant one.
Yeah.
Do any of you have the guts to pick the Bucks over the villainous Nets?
Bucks in seven. Yes, I have all of the guts. I have so much guts because what I saw from the Bucks this year, when they beat the Nets two times in a row in that three-game series over the course of the year, I saw a team that is not like the Bucks of yore. And yes, I know what the Nets have is the greatest assemblage of big three players that we've ever seen, right? They've scored the most points of any big three in the first round in NBA history. I get all of that. But what the Bucks have in Giannis, in Drew Holiday, in Chris Middleton, and PJ Tucker is a bunch of big bodies they're going to throw at those dudes. And so Kevin Durant being guarded by Giannis, we've seen Giannis block one of his shots in ways we've never seen anybody do that before. We've seen those guys team up to combine in a way that the Bucks at the end of games have never had before. So I think this is a different Bucks team. I think this is a team that will take the Nets to seven and then beat them. Yes, give me all of the guts.
You know what I didn't see in those two Bucks wins? James Harden, Pablo, because he didn't play in them. But yes, Kevin Durant was blocked once. Excellent sample size there. With all due respect to the Mountain Time Zone, this to me does feel like the real NBA Finals. Like, I truly believe these are probably the two best teams, and it's going to be an incredible series. And they're two teams that are wildly different. Like, the Nets now have this fully armed offensive battle station. The big three scored the most points per game in the first series ever, and the Bucks meanwhile held Miami to under 95 points a game. This is two immovable forces meeting for a series, and that is incredibly exciting. And that's why I truly believe it's a pick-up. Like, I know you guys are accusing me of Nets homerism, but I think this game is incredible.
It's not your home. You can't be a homer of some place that is not your home.
All you have is the ism.
Yeah, it's just a lot of ism. But I do appreciate that you introduced an immovable force. What the hell is that? We got two immovable forces going at each other?
First of all, I lived in Brooklyn for 10 years, Dominique. So.
I know you did. I know you did. Here it comes. It is here also it not your home. At no point would you ever say Brooklyn is your home, but this series...
But the jeans were so skinny, for the record.
This series is, in my view, in yours, Mina, this is the NBA Finals. I think the team that comes out of this will end up winning the championship. I think the Bucks have a real chance. I'm not necessarily confident enough to pick them, but I think the most interesting thing about this series is we don't really know what either of these teams actually are. And even through the first round series, they both kind of embarrassed teams that were very, very flawed and not good enough to beat them. So we saw the best of them. I think throughout the course of this entire season, we saw who the Bucks think they are, but it's different when you get in the playoffs. It's a very different team with Drew Holiday than they were from the team last year. And obviously, the Nets haven't been tested for real yet in a real situation. Their defense looked a lot better with KD sometimes moonlighting as a rim protector. It looked a lot better in that first round series, but they also were playing a team that doesn't have much offensive firepower. So I would be lying if I said I had a handle on who's going to win this series, but I think you're right, Pablo. They have the bodies, the Bucks, to give them trouble. But have we ever really seen anybody stop any of these players? Like, these guys don't play well offensively when they're not shooting well.
You know what's fascinating is I truly believe both of these teams have big threes. Like, Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday are playing at a superstar level now. And what might actually decide the series is the absence of two players who are very much not in the big three. Jeff Green, who was out for the first series and is actually very important on defense for Brooklyn, and Dante DiVincenzo, who's not going to play for the Bucks and would be really important in playing defense against the Nets' big three.
White Dante. Wow.
Key to the series right there.
So what happens if the Nets win? Do all teams just they win the championship and then we just stop playing defense and basketball altogether? Because if they win this series, it is just against a team that plays good defense.
Let's slow it down, guys. Let's slow it down. And yeah, I know Mina was making fun of me because we had this one incredible block of Kevin Durant by Giannis. But I believe the three of us in the last like 2 months or so have played more games than the Brooklyn Nets big three have in their lives on the court together. So let's slow that roll just a tad.
Dominique's question was, what happens if the Nets win the championship? And the answer is, I lead the parade. I'm the map, like the Grand Marshal.
My Lord.
Up next on HQ.
Whatever. You were posting Uncle Cracker lyrics in college because you were
bad. That's bad.
It was
that's
because day after day, I was so confused.
Do you question if we should overreact to Dame's Instagram post?
So late last night, Damian Lillard joined the tradition of pro athletes passive-aggressively posting Instagram captions that make all of us wonder, wait a minute, is this actually part of our real jobs and should we talk about this? And I think the answer is yes, because he said this, quote, how long should I stay dedicated? How long till opportunity meet preparation? A Nipsey Hussle quote from one of his songs. And look, as someone who once put the Uncle Cracker version of Drift Away on my AOL Instant Messenger away message when my freshman year of college girlfriend dumped me, this is very real. There is no way around this. He is in his feels, and his feels need to be addressed.
We could talk about Jokic. We could talk about Damian Lillard. Somehow you want us to talk about never mind. Damian Lillard, yes, we should take it very seriously. We should absolutely react to this way because he's been so stridently against that. I think it's a real thing, a real frustration that's built up. It's possible that it's just like reaction to what just happened, but Damian Lillard doesn't strike me as that type of guy. He seems always to be kind of well thought out, and this is probably something that's been kind of hanging on him, and he notices that even when he has a bananas game where he shoots 12 or hits 12 threes in the playoffs, they still lose. It's hard to walk away from that game and not think, what the hell am I doing for who, for what? So yeah, I think this is real.
Yeah, earlier we compared LeBron, I did, to a mama possum carrying all of his babies. Is there an animal that carries their babies at an even like greater level than a mama possum? Because that is Damian Lillard. After seeing this Instagram post, I then went to Google to read the entire lyrics of the Nipsey Hussle song, wondering maybe if they had been taken out of context or there was some additional context. And that brought me to my favorite mental image whenever this kind of thing happens, which is the Portland Trailblazers front office desperately on raplyrics.com trying to figure out what this means for the future of the team.
Isn't it Rap Genius? Who goes to raplyrics.com? Is that an actual site?
When you Google raplyrics.com, it's the first one that comes up.
Okay, just to be clear, Mina Kimes just Googled rap lyrics.
No, I Googled the lyrics to Dedication. Whatever, you were posting Uncle Cracker lyrics in college because you were
bad. That's bad.
It was
that's
because day after day, I was so confused. And I looked for a light in the pouring rain.
Oh my gosh.
You remember them.
Do you question if Lynn Bowden Jr. fixed his tattoo?
So Lynn Bowden Jr. plays for the Miami Dolphins, a fact you may have noticed because he tattooed it onto his body. And let's show stage one. This was how it looked initially. Like the Dolphin not looking terribly healthy. the logo not looking very realistic. Also, those kind of sun rays, which didn't really seem to involve a lot of work. But he has put more work into this. Let's see what it looks like now.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
So much.
No.
I mean, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. He put some... Wait, those are ha-has? Or, yo, like, I don't know why this has very Joker vibes, but it seems terrifying now, honestly.
If he was a friend of mine, I'd be very concerned. Like, I'm nervous to make fun of this. Who tattoos themselves not once, but twice? And they didn't realize the first time, I'm not very good at this. Maybe I shouldn't. Just practicing tattoos on your leg, making, I guess that was a tadpole? Is that a tadpole? It's not a dolphin.
Well, okay.
And tadpole vibes.
And to cap it all off, didn't he change his number? He's number 6 now. So who is number 15?
Oh, is that a number?
It is. Well, 15. It's
oh, no. I was looking at to the left. Is that a 1K? Do I need an Urban Dictionary this? I don't get that either.
Oh, God. It is a dolphin, and the mascot of the Miami Dolphins, I don't know why I know this, but its name is TD, like touchdown, which stands for
why?
The dolphin. The dolphin.
Well, this is a thing. Like, why is it that all, like, Lucky the Leprechaun's name is Lucky? We learned that this past week when the whole Kyrie thing stopping on it. Why are we naming these things? They don't need
names. The mascots?
Names.
I can probably name the Dolphin Blitz with the Seahawks.
Do you guys want to guess some NFL mascots?
Oh, this is, wow.
Oh,
Poe,
wow.
Yeah, that's Poe.
This is
right.
The...
Oh, wait. The Ravens poetically named their mascot after Edgar Allan Poe.
Wait, so yes. Dominique, this is fascinating. So Dominique was on the Raven. I'm guessing he's right. And it is interesting to me, like, I always wonder if players know this, like, the names of their mascots. So how did that come to your attention when you were playing?
It says P-O-E on the back of his jersey, and I know that, like, the Ravens, the name of the Ravens is... Edgar Allan Poe derivative, like that's why they chose
the
name.
Wait, the actual, really? I didn't know that.
Oh, I know this. Oh. I know this one, weirdly.
All right. His name is Jackie. Jack.
No, it's Jackson Beville or something like that. Because this mascot is always getting up to shenanigans. This mascot.
Hold on. Isn't that what aren't all mascots up to shenanigans? Isn't that the point of being a mascot?
Pardon me. It's Jackson Deville. There's a whole section on the Wikipedia of all of Jackson Deville's various controversies. Jackson, I'm going to read this, is known for his crazy antics. After the October 2007 game against the Colts, their president, Bill Polian, complained to the NFL and Jackson was reprimanded again. During the November 2007 home game, he spent a good portion of it in a makeshift cage. In 2009, he ended up getting stuck during a zipline stunt and hung above the field by his feet for 3 minutes while the crew tried to free him. That looks like Dan Levitard.
All right, Dan.
Is that hat backwards?
His name is Captain Fear.
Again,
why name him if you're
name.
Not going to put any effort into it? Like, that's terrible. Right,
like, Captain Fear looks like he's responding to the fact that he just learned that his name is Captain Fear.
He just heard me comparing him to Dan Levitard.
Streaming until noon tomorrow on YouTube, Freedom.
Okay, I thought we were going to preview Clippers-Mavericks because Luka Doncic is like the biggest star in the NBA playoffs right now, and he's about to eliminate Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. That's an enormous story, but sure, let's talk about whatever the hell Dan's up to.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
Yeah.
Are those bike shorts? Oh, God.
He's a basket on his bike.
Do you want to see more of Dan Levitard? Do you want to see the hottest videos in the internet? Do you want to see Dan in
Waste? Oh, no!
No!
Oh, Lord!
Well, for the next 24 hours, Dan is live on YouTube. He's going to be hot like me, Papi. The next 24 hours is going to be tough. Last time I was up all night, this one we made Dan. Check out Freedom on Levatar and Friends YouTube channel.
What's happening? What?
Is it over?
No, it's never over. I'm never going to forget that. So it's Levatard and Friends YouTube channel, just so I know where not to go in the next.
Yeah, just so I know what to report to YouTube's official content moderators. Yes. I'm going to say no. I'm also going to say that pool table seems to be the strongest pool table in the world. Dominique, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued, but that doesn't mean I'm going to watch. So again, I Levatard and Friends YouTube channel, whatever. Can I get that blocked from my IP address? I can never, ever go there in life. I would like that removed from any potential future history of my internet searches.
Mina Kimes, are you going to go on incognito mode or how are you consuming this? Are you intrigued?
This is so unfair because you guys are on the East Coast. You've already eaten lunch, and I had to watch that.
All right, that was Highly Questionable. It is Friday afternoon. Congratulations to everybody for making it, assuming you haven't vomited the contents of your stomach by now. That's Dominique Foxworth. That is Mina Kimes. They're on all sorts of platforms on ESPN. Go find them. They're worth it sometimes.
Nets in five.
Okay.